Have you ever noticed how some things just take time? You just can't rush them. Have you ever noticed that with some of those things, the learning curve is what slows everything down? And such is the case of the division of the land after finishing the war campaigns for Joshua and the nation of Israel. Because the Amorite kings had united to fight against the nation of Israel. And so one basic battle occurred up there in Hezron that finished the battle in the fifth year there, or just before the end of the fifth year. They had not been over the land that they had to go over, so they had not surveyed the land. And so when it came down to gifting the land to the nation of Israel, they had a problem in that they didn't know what they were gifting and they didn't know the borders yet. And so they had to have a survey. It had to happen. But in the meantime Gilgal was not a suitable home for the tabernacle complex. So the whole congregation needed to pack up and to move somewhere that was suitable. And that, just like they had packed up and moved across the Jordan River, they left the plain of Moab and where they'd been for a couple of months. They moved over and they were in Gilgal, but now they needed to go someplace else. So after gifting the initial land to the tribes, that were promised by Moses on the eastern side, and on the western side, they'd given the land to Hebron to Caleb, and they'd given the land of Shechem to Ephraim, because that was promised to Ephraim. They needed to pause for a rest, because the rest of the tribal land, they needed to move, and they needed to survey the rest of the tribal land. So we pick up here. There's a tribal move from Gilgal down there, right by the destroyed area of Jericho, over to an area called Shiloh. So we open our Bibles to chapter 18 and verse 1. Then the whole congregation of the sons of Israel assembled themselves at Shiloh and set up the tent of meeting there, and the land was subdued before them. Shiloh was a very fitting place for the tent of meeting to be put up, which housed the tabernacle, which sat in that whole tabernacle complex, because the name Shiloh means rest. Shiloh was the symbolic place of rest for the complex for the next 400 years. The tabernacle and all of it would be there for 400 years until it falls into the hands of the Philistines in 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 2, more than 400 years later. Shiloh was where the priest Eli lived and where Hannah brought Samuel at the age of 4 to spend his early years in training as a prophet. So when the text says the land was subdued before them, basically what it is saying is this. It just means that in the land, Shiloh was tread under the feet, okay? Translation means it became the home stomping grounds for the high priest and the tabernacle complex. It was just where they lived. So let us note one more thing before we move on. The verse opens with the whole congregation. Even though Joshua and the sons of Joseph had been gifted their inheritance, their families had not moved to their lands yet. They were still together with the whole congregation that was at Gilgal, and they've all moved together to Shiloh to reestablish that tabernacle complex there. So, 7 of the tribes had not received the details of their inheritance, and the reason was because they didn't know the boundary lines. They had to send out orders to survey the remaining land that was theirs because they had conquered their kings and their armies, but they had to go find out what it looked like in verse 2. There remained among the sons of Israel 7 tribes who had not divided their inheritance. So Joshua said to the sons of Israel, "How long will you put off entering to take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your father, has given you? Provide for yourselves 3 men from each tribe that I may send them, and that they may arise and walk through the land and write a description of it according to their inheritance, then they shall return to me. The seven remaining tribes knew where their inheritance would be divided from, but they did not know which part of the land would become theirs. So 21 men were selected to go survey together and to map out the details of the land together and to return those details to the leaders, Joshua, Eleazar, and the heads and the chiefs, to work with whenever they went to make their decisions of how to divide the land. So in the process of surveying the land, these 21 men were ordered to divide the remaining land into seven portions. Verse 5. They shall divide it into seven portions. Judah shall stay in its territory on the south, and the house of Joseph shall stay in its territory on the north. You shall describe the land in seven divisions and bring the descriptions here to me. So the writer is careful to let us know that the land of Joseph's descendants, that's Manasseh and Ephraim, and the land of Judah had already been assigned. Don't mess with that land. Then Joshua gave the order to assign the remaining land by lot. They're going to pull those pebbles out and they're going to give that when the survey comes back, and they're going to pick a spot and they're going to give it by the description that the survey has, and they're going to give it by the next one that comes up. So in 6b, we see this. He says, I will cast lots for you here before the Lord our God. For the Levites have no portion among you, because the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance. Gad and Reuben and half tribe of Manasseh also have received their inheritance eastward beyond the Jordan, which Moses the servant of the Lord gave them. The men arose and went, and Joshua commanded those who went to describe the land, saying, go and walk through the land and describe it and return to me. Then I will cast lots for you here before the Lord in Shiloh. So the men went and passed through the land and described it by cities in the seven divisions in a book. And they came to Joshua in the camp of Shiloh, and Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord. And there Joshua divided the land to the sons of Israel according to their divisions. So the land was divided into seven portions by these surveyors. But it was Joshua who made the decision of who would get which portion by lot, by drawing of the pebble. By drawing the stones with the names of each of the seven tribes out of the sack, they were relying on the Lord to direct the pulling of each stone and for the selecting of which partial would be the right partial and in what order. Basically saying, the Lord knows how many acres we need. The Lord knows what we need. The Lord knows what kind of tribal people we are, and He will give us what He wants us to have. So once the survey book was returned to Joshua, the drawing of the lots began, and the first pebble that was pulled was Benjamin. So the writer details Benjamin's borders first in verse 11. Now the lot of the tribe of the sons of Benjamin came up according to their families, and the territory of their lot lay between the sons of Judah and the sons of Joseph. Their border on the north side was from the Jordan. Then their border went up the side of Jericho on the north and went up through the hill country westward, and it ended at the western wilderness of Beth Avon. And from there the border continued to Luz, to the side of Luz, southward, and the border went down to Atharoth Adar near the hills which lies on the south of the border of Beth Horon. And the border extended from there and turned round on the west side southward from the hill which lies between Beth Horon southward, and it ended at Kiroth Baal, a city of the sons of Judah. This was the west side. Then the south side was from the edge of Kiroth Jearim, and the border went westward and went to the fountain of the water of Nephath Tol. The border went down to the edge of the hill, which is in the valley of Beth Hinnom, which is in the valley of Rephaim northward. And it went down to the valley of Hinnom, to the slope of the Jebusite southward, and went down to En-Rogel. It extended northward and went to En-Shemesh and went to Gelaloth, which is opposite the ascent of Abdomen, and it went down to the stone of Bohan, the son of Reuben, and it continued to the side in front of the Arabah northward, and went down to the Arabah. The border continued to the side Beth Hogla northward, and border ended at the north bay of the Salt Sea at the south end of the Jordan. This was the south border. Moreover, the Jordan was the border on the east side. This was the inheritance of the son of Benjamin, according to their families and according to its borders all around. So Benjamin was sandwiched right in between the borders of Ephraim and the borders of Judah. I want you to notice that it went up to the slopes of the Jebusite citadel. The citadel of the Jebusites was in the land of Benjamin. It was not in the land of Judah. But the city of peace, Jerusalem, city of Jeru, peace, Salem, was in the land of Judah. So the borderline between Benjamin and Judah went right through those two areas of the citadel and also of the city of Jerusalem. The stone that was the boundary, the stone of Bahan, the son of Reuben, which was the boundary marker, we've already seen that too, because that stone was there for the deciding where the Manasseh and Ephraim's land would start. So after describing Benjamin's borders, the writer now tells us about Benjamin's cities here in verse 21. Now the cities of the tribe of the sons of Benjamin, according to their families, were Jericho, Beth Hoglan, Emekizik, and Beth Arabak, and Zemaraim, and Bethel, and Avon, and Perah, and Ophrah, and Kephar Ammoni, and Ophni, and Geba, 12 cities with their villages, Gibeon, and Ramah, Beroth, Mizpah, Shephira, and Mozab, and Recham, Imperial, Terala, Zela, Haleth, and Jebusite, Gibeah, Kiriath. 14 cities with their villages. This is the inheritance of the sons of Benjamin according to their families. So we see important cities that are here. We see Bethel, we see Gibeon, we see Jebusite, we see Gibeah. Much biblical history will be lived in these cities in the future. Some of those cities that are mentioned, we don't even know where they are. So with the beginning of chapter 19, we come to the tribal area assigned to Simeon. This time, the writer starts with Simeon's cities instead of its borders. Interesting, because he's turned it around. Chapter 19, verse 1 says this. Then the second lot fell to Simeon. To the tribe of the sons of Simeon, according to their families, and their inheritance was in the midst of the inheritance of the sons of Judah. So they had as their inheritance Beersheba, or Sheba, and Meleda, and Hazar Shual, and Bela, and Ezron, and Ephtoled, and Bethuel, Hormah, Ziglag, Beth Makaboth, and Hazar Susa, and Beth Leboah, and Sheruhin. 13 cities with their villages, Ain, Rimmon, Ether, and Ashan. 4 cities with their villages, and all the villages which were around the cities as far as Baaleth Beer, Ramah of the Negev. This was the inheritance of the tribes of the sons of Simeon according to their families. So if you remember, the inheritance of Judah was enormous. It covered about 144 square miles from north to south. The widest width of the nation is found in Judah's territory. It's the widest width. Now Joshua selects Simeon's land, and he does it by naming the cities on purpose. And here's the reason why. It's because Simeon's land sits in Joshua's land. So the mere mention of the first city of Beersheba tells the general location. Then the addition of cities we know about of Ziklag and Ramah and the Negev define the general area also. Simeon received 17 of the cities in Judah's territory were switched to him when the division of land happens. So each of those cities had outlying villages that looked to those cities for support. So Simeon's borders is now told to us here in verse 9. The inheritance of the sons of Simeon was taken from the portion of the sons of Judah, for the share of the sons of Judah was too large for them. So the sons of Simeon received an inheritance in the midst of Judah's inheritance. So we must wonder, and we do not know how this was decided. The 21 surveyors who went north to divide up the land that was still to be taken into seven parts, they were told that Judah had already designed the land, assigned that land back to Judah and to Manasseh. So back there in Shiloh, Joshua and Eleazar and the leaders saw fit somehow to carve, they made the decision they needed to carve Simeon's land out of Judah's territory. So what did they do with the other seven portions up north that the surveyors had carved out? They realigned the survey is what they did and made it into six parts. That's all they could have done. So we do not know why Joshua and Eleazar did that, but they altered that information in that book and made it into six portions. So after Simeon, we come to the tribal area of Zebulun here in verse 10. Now the third lot came to the sons of Zebulun according to their families. And the territory of their inheritance was as far as Sarid. Then their border went out to the west to Merela. It then touched Debesheth and reached to the brook that is before Jachin. Then it turned from Sarid to the east toward the sunrise as far as the border of Kisuleth Tabor. And it proceeded to Deberath up and up to Japhia. From there it continued eastward toward the sunrise to Geth Hether, to Ethkazin. And it proceeded to Rimmon, which stretches to Neb. The border circled around on the north to Hanethin, and it ended at the valley of Teheb. Included also were Ketah and Nahalah and Shimron and Idlah and Bethlehem. 12 cities with their villages. This was the inheritance of the sons of Zebulun according to their families. These cities with their villages. This mention here of Bethlehem, there are two Bethlehems in Israel. One is in the tribe of Judah, and one is the tribe where Jesus was born, and the other is the tribe of Zebulun, which is up north. Well, that's all we know about Zebulun. Now we come to Issachar, and the writer moves on to Issachar in verse number 17. The fourth lot fell to Issachar, to the sons of Issachar, according to their families. Their territory was to Jezreel, and included Cheshelah and Shunem, and Hepheron, and Shion, and Ahareth, and Rabbath, and Kishion, and Ebez, and Remeth, and Enganim, and Enhadad, and Bethpazon. The border reached to Tabor, and Shehazuma, and Bethshemesh, and their border ended at the Jordan. 16 cities with their villages. This was the inheritance of the tribe of the sons of Issachar, according to their families, the cities with their villages. So Issachar's land was east of Zebulun, above Manasseh's land, but below Naphtali. And its eastern border was the Jordan River. It's below the Sea of Chinnereth is what it is. Runs that way, sideways, from the Jordan River below the Sea of Chinnereth or Galilee over just a little ways. Now the tribal area of Asher did not take much more description than that of Issachar. In fact, here it is in verse 24. Now the fifth lot fell to the tribe of the sons of Asher according to their families. Their territory was Helkath, Heli, Beten, and Akshaph, and Anamelech, and Ammon, and Mishael. And it reached to Carmel on the west, and to Shihor Libiath, and it turned towards the east to Beth Dagon, and reached to Zebulun, and to the valley of Iftaheb, a north well to Beth Mekin, and to Neiel. Then it proceeded on north to Kabul, and Ibram, and Rehob, and Hammon, and Cana, as far as the great Sidon. The border turned to Ramah, and the fortified city of Tyre. Then the border turned to Hosah, and it ended at the sea by the region of the Agzib. Included also were Umma, and Aphek, and Rehob, 22 cities with their villages. This was the inheritance of the tribe of the sons of Asher, according to their families, these cities with their villages. Now this is very interesting here, because it's mentioned Tyre here. This is one proof evidence that this book of Joshua was not completed till almost 400 years later in the time of Samson. We're going to find another one of those reasons coming up pretty quick in a lesson. Another one, because Tyre is not a city yet. It has not been founded yet, even though it is mentioned here. So Asher ran across the coastline from the Great Sea west to Manasseh, and it turned north and Naphtali to the east. Zebulun and Naphtali off to their east. So the tribal area assigned to Naphtali followed the same formula of the previous couple of tribes in verse 32. The sixth lot fell to the sons of Naphtali. The son of Naphtali, according to their families, their border was from Heleph, from the oak of Zananaim, and Adamanek, and Zebneel, as far as Lakum, and it ended at the Jordan. Then the border turned westward to Asnath Tabor, and proceeded from there to Haku, and it reached to Zebulun on the south, and touched Asher on the west, and to Judah and to the Jordan toward the east. The fortified cities were Zibin, Zer, Hamath, Rechab, and Chinnereth, and Adamin, and Ramah, and Hazar, and Kadesh, and Adriah, in Hazar, and Yeron, and Migdael, and Horam, and Beth-Anath, and Beth-Shemesh, 19 cities with their villages. This was the inheritance of the tribe of the sons of Naphtali, according to their families, and the cities with their villages. So Naphtali's land was east of Asher. It is the northern border that stops at Lebanon. Its eastern border was the Arabah at the river that fed down from Lake Meon. We're going to learn about that, down to the Sea of Galilee or Sea of Chinnereth. There's where it sits. The tribal area assigned to Dan was last for the tribe's allotments in verse 40. The seventh lot fell to the tribe of the sons of Dan according to their families. The territory of their inheritance was Zorah and Eshtaol and Ershemesh and Shealaban and Ajalem and Ithlan and Elon and Timnah and Ekron and Eltikam, and Gibbethon, and Beoth, and Jehu, and Beni-Berak, and Gath-Rimmon, and Majarkin, and Rakon, with the territory over against Joppa. So the southern allotment of Dan sat east of Ephraim and Benjamin, territories with the great sea of the Mediterranean Sea on the east. Now it's interesting here, because I've just told you about this, Dan also is going to acquire a northern allotment. Now, I want you to watch this. A northern allotment, verse number 47. The territory of the sons of Dan proceeded beyond them, for the sons of Dan went up and fought with Leshem and captured it. Then they struck it with the edge of the sword and possessed it and settled in it, and they called Leshem Dan. They changed the name after the name Dan of their father. This was the inheritance of the tribe of the sons of Dan according to their families, these cities with their villages. This entry into the scripture in this location in Joshua is proof positive, number two proof positive, that the book of Joshua was finished long after the death of Joshua, long after the life of Phinehas and Eleazar. Why? The campaign on Dan against the city of Leshem does not occur until Judges chapter 18, verse 1, many years in the future, during the days of Samson. Samson is the last judge of Israel, not including Samuel, who was just a boy born during the days of the judgment time of Samson. So that's 400 years into the future. So the original land given to Dan while the camp was there at Shiloh was only that southern bordered land. Long after the death of Joshua, long after the death of Eleazar, and probably all the leaders who were there dividing that land, Dan is going to go capture that northern area and make it his. The last division of land was the tribal gift to Joshua, their great mighty leader. Verse 49. When they finished apportioning the land for inheritance by its borders, the sons of Israel gave an inheritance in their land to Joshua the son of Nun. In accordance with the command of the Lord, they gave him the city for which he asked. Timnath-Zerah, in the hill country of Ephraim. So he built the city and settled in it. The way the division of the land worked was by tribes. The 12 tribes were assigned their tribal areas. Then each tribal area was divided according to its divisions of its number of patriarchal heads in each tribe. And then each patriarchal tribe divided it by their families underneath them. Each patriarchal tribe division and the patriarch divided it among each family, as I just said to you. The result was about 12 acres per family in all the tribal areas. Now, when it came to Joshua, things were different. Joshua asked for the area in Timnath-Serah, in the tribal area of his home, his heritage, Ephraim. Timnath-Serah means remaining portion. This area was given to Joshua. It was 10 miles southeast of Shechem. The writer then gives the tribal conclusion of the division of the promised land in verse 51. These are the inheritance which Eleazar, the priest, and Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the household of the tribes of the son of Israel distributed by lot in Shiloh before the Lord at the doorway of the tent of meeting. So they finished dividing the land. The work of the dividing the promised land was completed. More work remained at the tent of meeting in Shiloh, but that covers something else. That's going to cover the cities of refuge needed to be set up and why they needed to have cities of refuge. And it's also going to cover the dividing of 40, or the gifting of 48 places where the Lord chooses to have His name to receive offerings and tithes. This is what's going to be given and donated to the Levites to control. I am really thankful that I do not believe I will have to ever go over the list that we've gone over in these last three lessons of all these names. I have slaughtered those names, I promise you. But you know the names, you can read them, and the Lord knows them. And while they are not even identifiable to us in many ways, those people in that time knew where they were, and it was important to them. And so it should be important to us.